He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday morning. It is the February 4th edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we're in the green right now. We got to be pretty happy about that. The Dow right now is up 247 points, closing in on 31,000. Its all-time high was 31,188, so you're 218 points away from that, which could be resistance. We'll see. The Dow is at 30,970. The S&P is up 20 right now. The S&P is at 3850, just 5 points away from its all-time high. We'll see if that turns into resistance. And meanwhile, over at the NASDAQ is in new high territory. It's all about the close, however. But right now it's at 13,650, which puts it 15 points above its all-time high. The NASDAQ is up 40 points right now. Crude oil is up 8 cents to $55.77. We've got gold down $47 per ounce. Ouch, $17.87. I have no exposure to gold. Silver down 71 cents to $26.18. I have no exposure to silver. The 10-year moving higher. Look at this. That's the highest print. Well, I don't know. I'd have to go back. Paul, you can go back, look at that chart. When's the last time we saw 1.16 on the 10-year? I told you we're in a rising interest rate environment here, and that's going to crimp the multiple on the S&P 500 at some point in time. And Bitcoin up $180 per ounce. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. You've come to the right place, I hope. This is Bill Gunderson. I have been studying the market here all morning long for the last several hours and have picked out what I think is the most useful to you, the most useful information that I could find this morning. Well, before we start a new day, what happened yesterday? Where did we leave off in the markets yesterday? You know, we were all over the map yesterday. We were up and then we were down. I think it has a lot to do with the stimulus talks. But it obviously looks like that $1.9 trillion is going to go through. And the Democrats will use reconciliation to drive it home. That's what it appears like, and the market is trading on that. We saw the NASDAQ hit a new all-time high yesterday, but then the rally failed. It backed off after, you know, it was pretty much Google that was carrying the NASDAQ higher yesterday. What a breakout by Google. Alphabet yesterday. But, you know, the rest of the market really did not participate. I saw the leadership in the market in the cannabis sector. Okay, not exactly a leading quality sector in the market. I saw a lot of $2 and $3 biotechs moving yesterday. It was a good day for the Chinese stocks yesterday, 3D printers, etc. Those were the highlights that I made note of yesterday. So it was not a quality move in the market yesterday. It was mostly fueled by Google, while Amazon did not participate at all in the move yesterday. But we did keep the rally, the S&P 500 rally streak alive. There's a new term, the meme stocks, the meme stocks. Yes, those are companies like GameStop and Bed Bath & Beyond and Naked Brands, etc. These are stocks, we call it the Reddit gang, which has been ganging up on Robinhood. Robinhood is stealing from the rich and giving to the poor, and it goes back and forth. Well, that's all kind of cooled off. We don't know where they'll strike next. I'm not seeing anything yet showing up on my screens here. Doesn't seem like silver is their target right now. But I am seeing a few individual small stocks trading unusually right now. I would say mostly the 3D printer stocks and the cannabis stocks. That seems to be maybe where they're playing right now. But there's nothing that really stands out to me right now. Global markets mixed overnight. Not a lot happening there. India was up 0.7%. China was down 0.5%. Europe basically flat. Jobless claims still very, very stubborn. Hard to get that number down. Jobless claims 847,000. 847,000. Still elevated, still very high, still suffering from COVID-19 pandemic. GameStop trades to be looked at from all sides by the SEC. Well, I don't have any skin in that game. I never bought. I never shorted GameStop. I did, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, made a little money on it when it went down to $3 per share. I'm glad I covered my short as it went to $500 per share here recently. But the SEC is going to look through social media, message board posts, and indications to see if there was any fraud that played a role in the huge share price action on GameStop, Nokia. Let's not forget AMC Entertainment and other highly shorted names. You got to be careful what you post out there on social media. It becomes a record that people can go back and look at it. The regulatory agency is said to be delving into trading data to see if certain posts were part of a coordinated effort to drive up share prices. Well, then you're getting into the manipulation territory. And if misinformation was floated, I see misinformation on stocks all the time out there in a lot of the, on the social media especially. Taking it one step further, the SEC could also be checking to see if some professionals were mixing in with the Reddit crowd to manipulate share prices. That's a problem if they were. Sources say the SEC is looking at how brokerage firms handled increased volumes and their decisions to restrict trading during the volume spike. Well, it's pretty apparent to me that Robinhood had a pretty thin balance sheet. And Robinhood could have maybe been taken down had they not had those capital infusions to kind of withstand the storm that hit them. And they had to get some infusions of capital and to save them. And I think Robinhood's going to probably get hurt by all of this, probably see some kind of outflow. One prediction was 70% of their clients will leave them after the way they handled this. We'll see. It's one of the weirdest things I've seen in my career in the business. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen called the meeting yesterday with a group of regulators to delve into this whole mess. Okay, the Biden administration is moving full speed ahead on a $1.9 trillion economic relief plan after House Democrats adopted a budget resolution that would enable it to pass with a simple majority. And, of course, you say, well, there's no majority in the Senate. It's 50-50. Well, Vice President Kamala Harris would cast a tie-breaking vote. I would say consider the $1.9 trillion economic relief plan and full of all kinds of goodies. They always do, no matter whether it's Democrats, Republicans. There's so many goodies buried in there, make your head spin. But I say consider it done. That thing is going through, and that's why you've seen the market to celebrate here these last few days. Well, IPO mania continues. I mentioned a hot one yesterday. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about how it did. That was the Zoom conference, competitor to Zoom. It was called the combination of artificial intelligence and video conferencing. Well, that's a pretty good combination in today's COVID world. And there's another hot IPO today. I just want to keep you abreast of all of this, what's going on. We're still seeing a lot of speculative type action in the market that you should be aware of, because it's all a part of the overall puzzle that makes up the markets. This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. To the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Dow up 273 right now. It's at 30,996, which puts it 193 points away from the all-time high that we saw last week, I want to say, early last week. Over at the S&P, it's up 23 right now to 38.53, and that's just 2 points away. Now, we're going to see if that's where resistance is right now. We'll see if we can close above that level or if that is indeed a resistance level. So both the Dow and S&P closing in on their all-time highs. The NASDAQ's a different animal, however. The NASDAQ was above its all-time high yesterday, basically fueled by Google. Google had a big earnings report yesterday, and it's a big constituent of the NASDAQ, and it pushed the NASDAQ to new all-time highs, but it couldn't close there. So obviously, that is resistance. But right now, the NASDAQ is at 13,681, celebrating a new high by 46 points. Okay, and we'll see if that can hold throughout the day. Well, these IPOs, there's still a rush to get all these IPOs out while there's still money left out there sloshing around. Yesterday it was ON24, ONTF, another competitor to Zoom Video, ZM, which has been one of the great IPOs in recent years. I call it the IPO that was in the right place at the right time. came right along, right before COVID came along, Zoom Video, not too much before that it came public. ON24 had a huge run-up yesterday. It was up 64% first day trading IPO. Today, however, it's down $5 per share. There's a lot of volatility in these IPOs. There's also an IPO ETF. You say, well, how can I get exposure to IPOs? Well, there's an IPO ETF that's done pretty well this year. What's the symbol? IPO. Imagine that. Renaissance IPO ETF has $931 million in it. And if you look it up in the Best Stocks Now app, IPO, it's done pretty well. Why don't we just give it a quick look here? This has been obviously a very good year. It's a frothy year. Last year was too. A lot of frosting on the cake. Over the last 12 months, the IPO ETF is up 107%. The market's up 14.9%. So it has a momentum grade of A+. You want to get exposure to IPOs? Well, the IPO ETF, and you'll get a piece of these things as they come out. All right, now we got one today. We've got one coming to market, Loan Depot. Where can I find a branch near me? Payday's not till Friday. I need a little lunch money. Loan Depot is expected to price their IPO that could value the mortgage giant at up to $15 billion. Well, that's going to be a biggie. The symbol there is LDI. LDI, Loan Depot, hasn't traded yet. $19 per share. We'll see where it opens. Keep your eye on the bouncing ball, Loan Depot, LDI, today's big IPO. We have iron ore prices shooting higher. Why is that important? Well, you know what? I keep saying, and I mean it, I think there's some legs to these commodity-driven stocks. I'm seeing some action in them today. Iron ore is used to make steel. You've seen U.S. Steel X doing very well lately. The iron ore stocks doing very well lately. You got Vale in the news today, which is in mining and exploration of a lot of different minerals and different commodities, etc. Iron ore pops 5% today only. Well, we'll continue to watch these commodities. I've been watching corn prices, wheat prices, sorghum prices. You ever use sorghum? What is sorghum? Put a little sorghum on your cereal in the morning. These things are going up in price. And I just think that the bond market is definitely, it's not signaling wild inflation, runaway inflation. But it's definitely signaling a little inflation with the fact that it's up to 1.16%. right now on the 10-year. We had a deal in the biotech space yesterday, and this kind of gives some validation, I guess, to cannabis being used. GW Pharmaceutical, which was a pretty big biotech stock, and they have an epilepsy drug that is cannabis-based. GW Pharmaceuticals is being bought out by Jazz Pharmaceuticals, one I owned a long time ago. Oh, I like my Jazz. I still like going around here. Charleston's got some great restaurants with live jazz. If you ever want to come, let me know, and I'll tell you where not to go. No, I'll tell you where to go. There's about four or five places. What's better than walking in and live jazz and the smell of sizzling steaks and people coming and going? Wow. GW Pharmaceuticals, GWPH, being bought out. Big jump yesterday. It was up 35-40% being bought out by GW Pharma. Maybe that was what drove all of the cannabis stocks yesterday. I saw Tilray and I saw Canopy Growth, etc., all moving. Costco smashes January sales estimates. You know what? People love their Costco. I like Costco myself. I got a sack of flour there a couple weeks ago. Costco wholesale smashes January sales estimates. This is not their earnings estimates. Now, my problem with Costco's stock is the valuation. That is a very important factor for me. You know, Costco is not only a very popular place for people to go, it's a popular stock. Popular stocks trade at popular multiples. Unpopular stocks trade at unpopular multiples. It's very hard. I mean, Costco is an 8.7% per year grower at this stage of its life, and that puts the pay ratio at 3.7. You know, I like it down around 1 or so. I can only see 50% upside over the next 5 years in Costco at this valuation number. I like 80% or better. So Costco currently gets an F+ valuation grade. And I like value and I like momentum and performance. Well, you got a new CEO coming into Amazon. Where is he going to focus his efforts? What rock has Amazon not looked under and created a business yet? Video games. Incoming Amazon CEO sets his sights on video games. Well, bad news for GameStop, I suppose. Bad news for Electronic Arts, etc., but that's where he's going to focus. This is Bill Gunderson. A lot of individual stocks, a lot of earnings today to talk about when we come back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now radio show. Well, yeah, the Dow and the S&P and the NASDAQ, they all hit those highs. They bumped their head. Ouch, that hurts. And now they are backing off. It's always good to know, I think, where the indexes are from a technical standpoint, also from a valuation standpoint. Those two, very important. Very important. I would say that the technicals go along with that momentum performance. There's some very good books on technical analysis that I read back 25 years ago, and I still employ those same methods, support levels, resistance levels, moving averages. These are the basics. But just determining what kind of trend it's in at any given time. Is it in a sideways trend, an uptrend, a downtrend, a topping out trend, or a bottoming trend? Very important to know where a stock is at any given time, and then to stay on top of it. It's especially important to know about the ones that you own. Well, one area of the market very much in a sideways trend. You know, this was a very, very popular area of the market. I'm going back about 3 years. Any article that anybody wrote about a real estate investment trust, a REIT, on Seeking Alpha went right to the top. And the most watched, the most read, the most talked about article, and the REIT authors were at the top of the heap. Well, it's not good when you just focus on one sector of the market, because eventually, every sector goes through its bear market. But the REIT sector was especially vulnerable back then. And then along came COVID, which didn't help. I mean, if you own a shopping center REIT, a mall-based REIT, how about an office REIT with everybody working from home on Zoom video these days? I don't think it's a very good sector to be invested in, and you're in a rising interest rate environment. Other than that, I love the sector. Well, you got one more problem. Avalon Bay Communities, which has been a pretty good one over the years, one of the biggest apartment REITs out there. Well, now you've got all of this rent forgiveness. You can't foreclose. You can't evict. All of this. Avalon Bay, AVB, the biggest apartment REIT, turns in a soft quarter one guidance, Q4 hurt by uncollectible lease revenue. So, yeah, I did a webinar a few weeks back for a group down in Sarasota, and one of the questions I was asked is, what do you think about the REITs right now? I said, you know, you're going to get your dividend yield. But I like total return, and these things just got clobbered back in February and March of last year. They've made a pretty good comeback, but they're flatter than a pancake, just in a sideways trend, waiting for COVID to clear, and it's not clearing out as fast as we would hope for. It's another one, Mid-America Apartment Communities, MAA. You know, you want to own an apartment? Don't have the money to buy your own? Well, you can buy a REIT that owns apartments. It's just not a very good business right now. And here's a REIT, Mid-America, which has just been going sideways for a long, long time. They beat earnings. They beat on revenue. Not very good results, however. Pebblebrook Hotel REIT. You talk about another beleaguered sector of the economy, the hotel industry. Well, Pebblebrook Hotel is a REIT that invests in hotels located in U.S. cities with an emphasis on major gateway coastal destinations. Now, that's what I'm talking about. I love coastal destinations. But listen to this, their most recent two quarters. The quarter ended June 30th of last year. Their sales were down 95% from the previous same comparable quarter the year before. That's how hard the hotel industry has been hit. And their most recent quarter, which they reported on here recently, their sales were down 82%. Man, that's just a massive, being on the wrong side of the street during COVID, a lot of these real estate investment trusts. Now, the right side of the street recently been green energy. How about this news out of Ballard, BLDP? Ballard and Global Energy Ventures to develop fuel cell powered ships. Well, that's interesting. A ship running on water. You can have a desalinization plant, making it into fresh water, then running the fresh water, converting it to hydrogen to fuel the ship, and then recycle and do it all over again, I suppose. BLDP, Ballard Power Systems, is up. Let's see if it's up today. It was up in the after hours last night. It's breaking out today, BLDP is. After signing a non-binding memorandum of understanding with Australia's Global Energy Ventures for development of a fuel cell powered ship. Now, I hope it's not just a little one that goes in the bathtub. I hope it can power something bigger than that. But, you know, there's a lot of controversy around fuel cells. We have Elon Musk, infamous for calling them fuel cells. You see that he didn't go in the fuel cell direction with his Teslas, but you've seen others like Nikola and others that are hoping to develop and make fuel cells a little more denser source of energy than they have been in the past. And I see an article recently here by one of the writers on Seeking Alpha say the only thing that's kept Ballard Power alive is by issuing more and more stock. So there you go. Step lightly, very lightly. American Superconductor, EPS in line. Why do I bring that one up? AMSC, because they make chips for wind turbines. That's been a hot stock, AMSC. It's also a speculative stock. It's a $690 million market cap, which makes it a micro cap, but it's been one of the hottest micro caps in the entire market. And their sales have been doing pretty well, up 24%, up 54%, up 51%, up 32%. They fell a little short today. It's down 10%. But they are in that green energy space, which has been red hot. So has the electric vehicle space, XPeng. XPEV, another one of the Chinese automakers. EV automakers reports huge growth and customer deliveries to Norway. XPeng is flat, however, XPEV in today's market. IAC, that's Interactive Corp. Now we're starting to get into some of the earnings from yesterday. We'll get to a couple of ours. We have a blowout earnings report, and we have one that's down today on their earnings report. Now, here's a little lesson. So many people are so hung up on the day-to-day action of stocks. That's why I have a five-year target price on stocks. And from time to time, you've got to step back from the day-to-day action and look at the big picture. I've told my story about a famous artist that rented a studio from my father. He was a very well-known artist that painted small paintings. My father painted very large paintings, on billboards and billboards. But this guy, he painted the detail and he sold all of his stuff to Sears and whatnot. He would be 2 inches from that painting when I'd look at him sometimes. He'd be up so close putting that little highlight on the bumper of that old model 57 truck, 57 Chevy, whatever. A lot of Americana-type paintings he did. But every once in a while, he had to step back and look at the big picture he was creating. Instead of being focused on that little white dot that made that bumper shine to the average eye, you have to do the same thing in the stock market. You have to step back. If a company misses earnings by a few cents or gives a soft report, let the dust settle. Let's see where the analysts take the growth estimates. Let's see where they take the earnings estimates. And let's see what the new numbers are. Is it a significant change? Well, then you got to do something. If it's just a little minor change and a little bump in the road over the next several years, then you just step back and look at the big picture. We'll do just that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
You got to go where you want to go. Do what you want to do. You want to do.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, we have one stock that's way up after earnings and one that's down about 7% right now after earnings. Let's go back to March 27th of 2020. That was about the darkest hour. Many times the darkest hour is right before the dawn. I was very, very bullish in March of 2020. I was one of the few. I called the bottom in the market on March 19th. It bottomed on March the 23rd, just 4 days later. One of my biggest buys at that point in time was Qualcomm. That was March 27th, 2020. We wrote up an article about Qualcomm. How have we done on Qualcomm? Well, even with today's sell-off, we're up 110% on our Qualcomm purchase. And now during that same period of time, I would say that, let's see, what would the Dow, maybe the S&P maybe up 20 or 30%. So we've delivered a heck of a lot of alpha here. In Qualcomm, we're up 110%. Now, where does it go from here? Okay, so what happened? They reported earnings last night. I think they came up short on the revenue side of the equation. Let me get the little headlines up here. There it is. Qualcomm beats by 7 cents. They miss on revenue. And there's one sourpuss out there saying Qualcomm downgraded as Citigroup says 5G upside is likely over. Well, you know what? I'm going to do like I do on every. Should I cash in today for 110% gain? No, I think I'll let the dust settle a little bit. I think I'll step back. Okay, let's look at the app right now and what the valuation is on Qualcomm. I can't imagine there's going to be that much of an adjustment downwards. We have the consensus five-year growth estimate for Qualcomm is 19.6%. That's what it was as of yesterday. That's the consensus. That's pretty good growth for a 1.8 or a $180 billion mega cap stock. Very good growth. Qualcomm's trading at a forward PE of 20, so the peak peg ratio is 1.03. It's trading at 1x its forward growth rate. That's the peg ratio, so that's very favorable. Our target price is 324, and the stock's currently trading at about half of that, I want to say, 162 or 146. So that creates a lot of upside potential, but I'm going to wait and see where these new numbers settle. Where will they take the five-year growth rate? Where will they take next year's earnings estimate, which currently sits at $8.10, right around in there. So that's what we'll do. In fact, this quarter that they just reported, that everybody's so sour about, their sales were up 62% year over year. This is for a $165 billion company. Their earnings were up 119%. most companies would dream to have a quarter like that, especially a large cap tech stock. But having said that, we'll see where the dust settles. We're sitting on a huge profit in Qualcomm. My first blush is that this could be a good entry point. I'll be deciding that in the next several days. You see, if you bring new money to me, I don't put all your money to work on day one. When I see a pullback or a good entry point into one of the stocks that we already own, I buy it for you. That's the kind of individualized attention you get here at Gunderson Capital Management. I don't throw all your money into the market, no. And then if you're a subscriber, I tell you when I'm actually buying something. I may already own it for most people, but if I had a new client come in a couple weeks ago, I let you know. In my tweet, I say, look, we already own this stock, but we've had some new clients come in here, and I'm going to buy them. This is a good entry point to get into this stock. So that's how we'll work Qualcomm. Qualcomm is currently ranked in the app at number 38 out of 5,630. So we'll see where the dust settles. The other one that is just killing it right now, holy mackerel, Digital Turbines. We wrote this one up just a few months ago. We made a lot of money in it. In our emerging growth portfolio, we tripled our money in Digital Turbines in about 6 months. I liked it so well, I moved it up to my ultra growth. I went from my double A baseball portfolio to my triple A. Maybe this will become a major leaguer. It's now a $7 billion company. When we found it, it was about a $2 billion company. What industry are they in? This is one of the hottest growth stocks in the entire market. Symbol, APPS. They're in the digital advertising business, the billboards of our day. Listen to this quarter that they just reported after the close yesterday. Sales up 146%. Earnings up 320%. That is a knock it out, knock the ball out of the park type of report. So there you go, a tale of two stocks today. We have a double in one. We've already tripled our money in the other one, and now we own it in the ultra growth portfolio, and I think we're up on that position that we established in that portfolio on apps. We're up 95% right now on that. And we bought it pretty recently, back in November of last year. Digital Turbines, I liked it so much, we wrote up a research report. You can read it on Seeking Alpha. I said this is one of the best growth stocks that we can find. And it's a small cap. It's not a big, large cap dividend pair. Oh, no. This is more of an aggressive type stock. And there's people out there that are more of aggressive type investors. Well, that's for Paul and Barry to determine. They determine where you fit in that overall risk scale and do their best to place you where they think you fit the best. You can give us a call and set up an appointment with them. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. They've been busy lately. We've all been busy lately. We love it. You can check out the newsletter. You can see how our ultra-growth portfolio has done. And our emerging growth portfolio. Don't take my word for it. Look it up. See what we currently own, our recent buys, etc. 2 free weeks of the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.